Welcome to a special bonus episode of Start Here, where we invite guests to co-host and share a little bit about themselves, their craft, and their favorite podcasts. It's time to start here.
Often the singer is, you know, some kind of a sex idol object, etc. And we didn't have that going for us. So we thought the collective consciousness was a better way to go and more enjoyable. And yeah, this feeling that we're all kind of in this together.
I live in the middle of one of my vineyards, and people say, well, you know, why do you farm organically? And I'm like, because I live in the middle of one of my vineyards, and I want to be an old man.
TGI Friday menu from 1976.
No way.
Yeah. Look at it. Look at this.
What?
Look at
no.
this. Yeah. Look at that. It looks nothing. This would
you
never.
You can't even read that.
This would never happen today.
This menu was ridiculous.
On the way, samples from Long May They Run, I'll Drink to That, and Gastropod. I'm Trip Eldridge, and on this special bonus episode, we welcome guest podcast jockey L.R. Hundley of the restaurant Tila Bar and Kitchen in Wyoming. L.R. joins us to share a sample of those three podcasts and tell us why they're among his favorites. With help from Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and writing and research support from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. We're here on location for this bonus episode of Start Here with our guest host, L.R. Hundley, co-owner with Doug Naraki of Tila Bar and Kitchen in Wyoming, Ohio. And before we get set to hear some of his favorite podcasts, let's begin, L.R., with you giving us a little bit of background about the inspiration that went into creating the success of Tila.
Tila was first envisioned over 30 years ago. Doug and I met at TGI Fridays in Tri-County, quickly became friends. Over the years, spent a lot of time following our favorite bands, the biggest one being Phish. Upon leaving Fridays, I took a position with Tellers of Hyde Park. I was a general manager there from 96 to 2002. And that again, was a very unique experience for me, going from chain restaurant to independent. Local independent that were doing really cool things. Back in 96 to 02, you know, Tellers was the place to be around town, way before all the OTR blow up and all the other independent restaurants that have opened around town. You know, we were one of the kind of original independents that the young professionals of Cincinnati flocked to. I was there during their heyday. You know, we would do $3.2 million a year out of that store, which, if you know anything about restaurants, $3.2 million in that square footage is pretty strong numbers. And it was a sea of people every night. It was fun. It was high energy. Met a lot of great people, worked alongside a lot of great people. From there, I went and sold wine on the wholesale level. Toward the end of that 3-4 year run, we were newly parents. This would have been 2006. I was approached by a local wine retail outfit called Piazza Di Sepoli Wine Merchants. They were in a situation where they needed someone to run their White Oak location. I spent 4 years running that White Oak location, and it was in 2009 that they approached me because they were able to acquire the space next door to their Glendale location. They wanted to put a wine bar in there, and me being the only one with any kind of restaurant background or any kind of on-premise background, they basically gave me carte blanche to do whatever I wanted to with the space and turn it into a wine bar. So that really was my first stepping stone into, you know, what do you got to do to create something, to start up. During that time, though, I kept hearing about this everything that was going down in OTR. A lot of my clientele would spend time down there, but you know, the common thing I kept hearing out of everyone was, you know, we really enjoy it down there, but, you know, parking's a pain in the ass. And people would say, you know, I wish we had something cool and independent out this way. You know, it didn't take much nudging. I was like, yeah, you know what? I opened a wine bar. I mean, I know the restaurant business. Feel pretty confident that I have the knowledge to do it. Why not? Let's go check it out. Let's start to at least talk about it. For some reason, I found myself on Springfield Pike driving through Wyoming and drove by and saw that the space was for lease. That was 2014 into 2015. We opened the doors to the public on July 10th of 2015.
Well, and another passion of yours, of course, is music, you said. So music is brought to life here in a unique way at Tila, right?
It is. It, you know, I'll rewind to one of the exercises Doug and I did before we opened the restaurant was here we are. You know, we're getting close. You know, what are we going to call this place? We ended up naming the restaurant after a fish song, Tila, and it's a character in a fairy tale land, a story that's told through song. Called The Man Who Stepped Into Yesterday. So yeah, we named it Tila, and in naming it Tila, we were pretty sensitive to the fact that we didn't want to make it a fish bar or a fish restaurant, but we really wanted to, you know, tip our hat to the special times we spent out on the road, doing what we love and following this band and listening to this band as they grew through the years, and what an important part it was in our lives, and still to this day really is an important part of my life.
So there's more to a fish fan here than just the name Tila, is that correct? Tell us a little bit about the secret insider stuff at the restaurant.
We very sublimely put little things around the restaurant that if you're a fish fan, you kind of get it. You know, the biggest one being the Electrolux on the back bar. For those not in the know, the drummer for Fish, John Fishman, during certain shows, certain songs, he'll literally stand up to a microphone, click on a Electrolux, and play it. It's just the weirdness and the fun and the excitement that is Fish, and that's part of it. You know, we have menu items that are named after Fish songs. The two antelope heads on both sides of the kitchen doors is a tip of the hat to one of my favorite songs, Run Like an Antelope. So yeah, I mean, it's fun when Fish fans come into the restaurant for the first time. I remember early on, it's probably the first couple months we were open, we were very busy on a Friday night, and there's a gentleman sitting in the seat you're sitting in right now, facing the bar, but in the dining room, and he and his date were here for probably about a half hour, 40 minutes, and, you know, I'm very observant of the dining room. I try to watch people's cues, their faces, you know, if they're goosenecking, if they're looking for something, and I try to be there as much as possible. And I noticed this gentleman, I was standing by the kitchen door, this gentleman just stands up out of nowhere, like he was alerted to something. And he waves a server over, and come to find out, she comes back to me, and she's like, that gentleman just said he needs to meet the owner right now. So I walk over, I introduce myself. He said, Fish. The Electrolux, like it all just kind of, he's like, I was sitting here and I'm looking at that back bar and I'm thinking to myself, what in the world would anyone put an Electrolux that high on a back bar for? And then I'm looking around and then I'm looking at the menu and it all just clicked. So, you know, there's a fan that just...
It all came together for him, and he knew he was in the right place.
Immediately. And he got so excited about it that he literally stood up in the middle of a Friday night in a busy dining room just to find out who the owner was. You know, being part of the fish community, you meet a lot of just amazing people, and I love conversing. I love learning, every day that I come in here, it's new opportunities to do all of that.
Well, and certainly an opportunity right now to share your love of fish, love of music, love of podcasts, love of wine, love of food here today. So. Why don't you start us off with our first recommendation for the podcasts?
This one was really exciting, and it's the obvious tie-in because it has to do with the band Fish. It's called Long May They Run, and it's a podcast it's a 10-part series that launched back in the fall of 2019, and it really does a deep dive into the history, the innovations, the pioneering that the band is responsible for current day. They were the first ones to do music festivals. Now there's a million music festivals every single year with multiple bands playing in them. You know, think of Bonnaroo, you think of Peach Festival, you think of even here locally, Bunbury and, you know, Forecastle down in Louisville. You know, who knows what they would look like without the model that Fish had set up through their many festivals leading up to the explosion of music festivals. So here's a sample of, you know, Mike Gordon talking about the band and how they chose their direction and, you know, being improvisational and how they really believe in collective consciousness and how they always want to take the fans on a ride every night. Very similar to what Doug and I want to do every time we open the doors here at Tila.
There's always been a lot of talk about ways of including people. And even if it's sort of like a joke or a surprise, that's one way that people like to be included is, you know, people like a surprise party. And especially since the band started in the 80s when music became very canned and synthetic and hinged on MTV videos. And then leading into the 90s where the biggest bands had a lot of angst that they were expressing and often the singer is, you know, some kind of a sex idol object, etc. And we didn't have that going for us. So we thought the collective consciousness was a better way to go and more enjoyable. And yeah, this feeling that we're all kind of in this together, you know, in terms of not only knowing some of the inside jokes and the language and the context for songs and for antics and rituals, but also just acknowledging that the audience is going to make the show and that the vibe from the audience is going to come to us. And if we're being so open about improvisation, then the only good shows are the ones where we're taking in people's energy and making the show out of that. Even to the deepest level then, just sort of saying that on some level, yes, we want to go on this incredible journey together. Like, we've had these musical experiences at band practice, and we're thinking that you might enjoy it too. But let us know, you know, and we'll figure this out together. And it's a beautiful thing, too, because we don't have to feel alone. Like, we're four people trying to prove ourselves in our music and our songs, and the experience is more like we want to go on a journey, and these people seem to want to go with us. And it sounds idealistic to say, but that's what the feeling is when it's good.
That's Mike Gordon, reflecting on Phish's reciprocal relationship with its audience.
A sample podcast of Long May They Run, featuring the band Phish, available now on the Start Here podcast collection on WVXU.org. Our guest podcast jockey today on this bonus episode of Start Here is L.R. Hunley of Tila Bar and Kitchen in Wyoming. On to his second podcast recommendation.
So, aside from my love for music, I would say I have two others aside from my wife and kids. First one being wine, and the second one being food, which obviously kind of goes hand in hand with operating a full service restaurant. On the wine side of things, I found a really, really interesting one that's a sommelier named Levy Grant. Literally invites these incredibly famous winemakers, enologists, people in the wine industry into his tiny little apartment in New York to discuss wine and, you know, their stories and how they came about doing what they do. The episode I chose for you features a now pretty well-known domestic winemaker named Aaron Jordan. It was important to me because I've met Aaron. I met him years ago in New York, and he's this super nice, genuine man. We share very similar palates. But also here at the restaurant, you know, two wines that we carry kind of have his footprint. His winery, which is called Fela. I carry the Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir and a former winery that he used to work for called Turley, Larry Turley. And it was this time with Larry that he kind of learned about and embraced organic farming. He kind of touches on why he ended up choosing organic farming over the traditional farming methods that were going on in California.
I mean, Larry Turley was an early and active proponent of organic farming, and I think that went back to his days of working with John Williams, and they had a consultant, a guy by the name of Amigo Bob Cantisano, who's one of sort of the pillars of organic farming in California. And, you know, he was just kind of hanging out, hippie from the foothills, talking about how you might want to farm your vineyards as an alternative to a more chemically driven situation. And, you know, it resonates, especially when you're farming an old vineyard and you think, right, like they didn't have access. The old timers had no access to systemic fungicides and Roundup and all those things. And these vineyards lasted this long. And will a modern vineyard that has all these synthetic chemicals being applied to it, does it even have a chance of lasting this long? And so that was I think organic farming and beyond is really the wave of the future for really the high end of the California wine industry. I'm powerfully convinced of it. I live in the middle of one of my vineyards, and people say, well, you know, why do you farm organically? And I'm like, because I live in the middle of one of my vineyards and I want to be an old man.
A sample from the podcast, I'll Drink to That, available now on Cincinnati Public Radio's Start Here podcast collection on WVXU.org. It's our special bonus edition of Start Here with our guest podcast jockey, L.R. Hunley, co-owner of Tila Bar and Kitchen. And before we get to L.R.'s third and final podcast recommendation, let's learn about some unique reasons why you might want to come out and try Tila.
If you're a fan of chicken wings, I guarantee you we have the best chicken wings in the city. It's not because of the sauces, because the sauces are all really, really good. It's just the preparation. We confit our wings, which is basically a process of cooking them in fat at a very low temperature for several hours. And we take them out of the fat and let them cool off, and then we flash fry them to order. So the resulting product is this crispy on the outside, super tender, delicious chicken on the inside. It's tossed in any one of our six signature sauces. So there's that. And my personal favorite, the shrimp and grits. I've been told by many, many people that that travel a lot, even to the Carolinas, that ours is among the top, if not the top, they've ever had. So something to be really proud of. And, you know, beyond that, I think you touched on it earlier on. We always wanted it to be something for everyone. You know, a gentleman who's on a business trip in a suit having an important meeting can feel just as comfortable as, you know, the local Little League team, you know, with the coaches in their shorts and hats, all in the same dining room, all at the same time, all experiencing the same thing. We felt that was very important as we set out to, deliver the message of Tila. And I think we've done a very good job of doing that and making, you know, everyone feel comfortable.
Speaking back of food, you have your third and final podcast is food-based, not to be surprised.
Yes, yes. This particular podcast is called Gastropod, and what they do is they focus in on the history, the science of food. But the sample clip I chose really brings things full circle for me, because toward the end of this particular episode, they are at the LA Library, and they're talking with an archivist who has all these old menus from way back when. And the very first one she talks about and so excited about was the very first TGI Fridays menu, which was, believe it or not, handwritten in 1976. And had all these goofy little like characters drawn on there, these little doodles here and doodles there, very much, you know, what became Friday's menu. But just to hear her gush and talk about it, I just, you know, I kind of got a grin on my face, just because I'm like, wow, you know, here I am like with my own restaurant, sitting down with you and talking podcasts, and, you know, I'm listening to this episode about menus, and, you know, one of the highlights for me is them talking about where it all started for me, and it was kind of fun. So this is a sample from the episode titled Menu Mind Control from the podcast Gastropod.
So while it turns out that menus can't really tell us what to do, they can tell us something. And they're also just fascinating and beautiful. Allison and Josh and Tom, they could hardly wait to show us their favorite menus. Menus they thought were amazing, even though they weren't necessarily effective.
Oh, you know what you should see? You should see this. I brought this. This is my historical collection. TGI Friday menu from 1976.
No way.
Yeah. Look at it. Look at this.
What?
Look at
no.
this.
No.
Yeah. Look at that. It looks nothing. This would
you
never.
You can't even read that.
This would never happen today.
This menu was ridiculous. We have photos on the website. It was printed in an elementary school notebook, and it was covered in doodles and gold stars and little jokes.
And it was printed in something that looked like handwritten cursive. It was nearly impossible to read, but it was totally delightful. It was one of my favorites as an art object. But I can't imagine sitting down at a restaurant and getting this and having to decide what to eat.
A sample of the podcast, Gastropod, food through the lens of science and history. Check out Gastropod in the Start Here collection on WVXU.org. LR, thank you for hosting this special guest version of Start Here, and congratulations on making it through what I'm sure was the toughest year you've ever seen in the restaurant business. And now celebrating your 6th year anniversary. So what's the best way for folks to experience Tila this weekend or this summer sometime?
Well, first off, my pleasure. Thank you for having me. As far as the best way, you can just come on out to the restaurant. Let's sit down and talk. We can talk some wine. We can talk food. We can even talk fish if you're so inclined.
Talk Electrolux vacuum.
Talking Electrolux. Maybe we'll turn that one on and try a little ditty. But you can check out our website at www.tilabarandkitchen.com. We also have a Facebook page and a Instagram account where you can see some of the delicious food that comes out of our kitchen, some of the events that we have going on around the restaurant, and just get a general working knowledge of what we're all about.
Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more about other podcasts we like, check out the Start Here collection at WVXU.org. It's our new specially curated collection of podcasts we think you might enjoy. Plus, check out the local podcast collection, podcasts created right here in Cincinnati by our local creators. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org. I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.